Okay, Tov, and welcome back to another podcast in our series of Shiur Madaf Yomi. We are now at the beginning of the first Gemara, the first analysis of the opening Mishnah Masachet Yevamot on Daf Bet Amud Bet. And in the first podcast, we went through all of the 15 Arayot whose presence exempts not only themselves, but all of the Tzarot from Yibum and from Chalitza and even Tzarat Tzara. And now we will take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara that we will look at this morning is divided essentially into two pretty fairly equal sections. The first one is a series of structural and linguistic considerations about the Mishnah, why the Mishnah lists the 15 Arayot in the order that it does, and why it uses particular terms. The second half will be the beginning of a relatively long piece that determines the source, the authority of protecting the Erva, as opposed to mitzvot yibum, and that extends also to the tzarot. Let's take a look. Mechtei kulu miachoti she'alfinan, as we're going to see a little further on, the exemption of an erva from yibum, and then the extension of that exemption to the tzara and to the tzarat tzara, is derived from achotisha, from a man's wife's sister, meaning that if two brothers marry two sisters, and one brother dies childless, and the sister, his wife's sister, falls to him, that's where the erva, that he's not allowed to marry her, that is the source of the ptur of yibum. Litni achotisha bereisha. So then that means that the text, the Mishnah, should have started with the source, and should have said the following of the 15, and start with achotisha. Why does Achot Isha near the end? So you might think that the text started with the most severe punishments and moved down. But remember, it starts with Bito. And Bito, a man's relationship with his own daughter, the result is Srefa. Now there's a machloket, as I pointed out in the notes, there's a machloket among the Tanaim as to which of the four executions is the most severe. Is it Srefa as per Rabbi Shimon, or is it Skila as per Rabbonin? So, Bito is Srefa. So therefore, you would have to argue two things. That first of all, the structure of the Mishnah is based on severity and harshness of the punishment, starting from harshness first. And the second is that the author is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, idamar Srefa chamura, so yachi litni chamoto bereisha. If that's the case, then a chamoto, your mother-in-law, which is the ikard pasuk about Srefa, and as you see in pasuk number 4 on the page, should have been first. The Iker Sreifa b'chamoto k'tiva. That's where it's mainly written. V'yod batar chamoto litni kalato. And if that was the case, you should have had chamoto, and the next one should have been kalato, your daughter-in-law, because that's where the main pasuk about skila is. Right? Which, devatar sreifa skila chamor, because according to Shimon, the order is sreifa then skila. According to Rabbanan, it's skila then sreifa. Ella, that can't be the answer, because to say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon is a little difficult. We would not want to attribute it to a single opinion. And the second of all, then the are two problems with that. One is that the first one should not have been Bito, but rather Chamoto. And the second one is that the next one should have been Kalato. The answer is, Ke Bito came into Atu Midrosha Chaviv Olei. This is something we find several times in Shas, for instance, at the beginning of the 8th parak of Bav Basra. When presenting a list, the Tana is so enamored with the item that was inferred from a drasha that he listed first over the ones that are explicit in the text. And since the prohibition, believe it or not, as we saw this in Moed in Chagiga, the prohibition of Bito, so at the very end of the first parak, is not explicit in the text. And the consequence for Gilui Erva with your own daughter is not explicit in the text. That's why he put it first. So kulunam midrasha atu. Well, right now we assume that midrasha means the notion that the erva does not trump yibum, right? That yibum does not trump the erva. That is all midrasha. All of them come from midrasha. Nowhere does it say explicitly that yivama is limited to non arayot. So nehidul in yibum atu midrasha. You're right. As far as the issue of Erva versus Yibum, the fact that Erva trumps, that's Midrasha. But Ikari Suraya Behed Yaktivo. However, all of the other Arayot, the essential prohibition is written explicitly, as opposed to Bito, which is inferred from Midrasha. So Bito, Ikari Sura Midrasha. Amar Rava, Amarli Rav Yitzchak, Barav Dimi, Rava. And this is, again, we saw this very recently at the end of the first parak of Chagiga, that that Rav Yitzchak Barav Dimi showed Rava what is the source for the Isser of Bito It is from Hena, Hena Atya Zima Zima. And take a look at Rashi, goes through the Psukim, in which we learn that that from the Pasuk says, the main Pasuk that you want to start with is Ervat Bat Pincha Uvat Bitcha, right, which speaks not about necessarily somebody you're married to, the daughter of your wife, but rather your own daughter, your own granddaughter from each side. And there we learn via Xerashava that it equally applies to the first generation down, meaning your own daughter. And therefrom, and that we're able to hook into also the punishment of Sreifa via the connection of Zima. Look at Rashi for the connection. So now, the reason I'm not dwelling on it is because we end up rejecting this. So if that's the case, that you're saying that the Tana starts with a surim that are learned from a drasha, so kill milted the atmi drasha. If that's the case, achotisha, which is the source of everything, should have been the last on the list. It's somewhere in the middle, right? It's about number 10 on the list. So the answer is achotisha is included in a list of things that have to do with siblings. Achotomeimo, achotimo, so achotishto. So put that whole block of Isurim at the end. Ella, the answer is that that's not the way. The way that we understand the sequence is Tana, kurve, kurve, nakat. The Tana is simply learning by relational proximity. In other words, whoever's closest to you. Let's see the order, and I listed it on the page. A, B, C, D, and E, and both D and E have several subsets. All right, the first one is bito, ovat, beno, your daughter and your granddaughter from either son or daughter. All right, the krovi atzmo, those are from yourself. Vayatana shlosha dorot lamata, since you did three generations down, meaning you, your son, daughter, or granddaughters, the day, from your perspective, tanami shlosha dorot lamata dida, then you also did three generations down, so the two generations down, from your wife's perspective, which is bat ishto, bat bitam, bat bina. That's the next three. All right, and now, vayatana shlosha dorot lamata dida, tanami shlosha dorot lamala dida, and now you go three dorot up, in other words, two dorot up, on your wife's side. So your wife's mother or your wife's grandmother's, right? Which gives us a total of 9 already. The first 9 out of the 15 are very straightforward. Good. So now, Tana achoto v'achotimo, the next two on the list are your own sister, achoto v'achotimo, your own sister meaning your own maternal sister. That's how this whole thing would play out. And achotimo, your mother's a sister again, considering that the brother who's deceased is only a paternal brother, and that's how that could happen. The krovi atzmo, because those are from your own bloodline. Once they're talking about sibling connections, tana achotishto, then they mention achotishto, which is really the source of all of it, as we'll see in the second half of today's shiur. The truth is that Kalato, who's last on the list, your daughter-in-law should have really been before Eshtachiv Shalaya Ba'olamo, if it's your brother who was not alive at the same time you were alive, and he died before you were born, then there is no Yibum. The Kalato should have been first. The Lo Mishum Korva Hu Dasir, because that one is not because of any Korva whatsoever, as opposed to Kalato. But since we're talking about siblings, so they also want to mention. Remember, the Mishnayot were always taught orally, and therefore we wanted to mention the siblings so that it'll be easier to memorize the sequence. And it really is a fairly easy sequence to memorize and to master. And so we're talking about siblings. We're talking about Eshet Achiv Shalohei Balamo, and then Kalato is last. Good. So Vaharatana Kalato. So that's the first. And the largest discussion about the structure, and that's about the sequence. Now we ask several questions about the language. The first one is that Umay Yirgi the Tana Potrot. Why does the Mishnah Tana use the word Potrot? These 15 exempt. Really, what should it have said? Litni Osrot, because the matter of fact, in none of these cases, you're allowed to consummate the relationship. It's not that the relationship is exempt, it's prohibited. So why does it say potrot? It should say osrot. The answer is itana osrot havimena asurli abim. I would have thought osrot means you're not allowed to have yibum. Avamichlat chalza. Kamash v'lan. But I might have thought that you do chalitza. In other words, you're not allowed to do yibum, but perhaps no woman gets released without chalitza. Kamash v'lan. That's why it says potro, to say there's a total exemption. V'litni asur al achlot. So just say These five women, osrot lachlots. So, my ka'avid, what are you talking about? What kind of isser is there to the lachlots? That might get the point across, but it's a strange statement. So, alama lo, why not? Imata omer choletzet mityabemet. Because the problem is, the reason you would say osrot lachlots is it's a reasonable statement, is because if you allow her to do chalitza, then you're going to come to the conclusion you also do yibum. So the answer is, kevan de memokom mitzvah hu da asira tzora, v'shalom mokom mitzvah sharyam shumachi tane potrot. There is really something that would be misleading here. After all, when is tzarat isha totally out of the relationship? Only when there is an erva that's poteret, all right, memokom mitzvah. But let's say that a man was married to two wives, and who were absolutely no relation. Let's say one of them was the daughter of the second brother, and the other one was an outsider, and they had children, and the man died. Now, that Sarah goes and marries somebody else, and that other person now dies and has a co-wife. There's no reason that co-wife can't come and marry the original brother. So the p'tur of Tzarat Sarah only exists when there's Malka Mitzvah, when it comes to Yibum. That's why we said Potrot. If we said Osrot, we would think that in every case, even at Shlov Malka Mitzvah, the problematic relationship carries the Isser around with her and connects it to every group of Tzarot with whom she's related and with whom they're related. Therefore, it says Potrot to say that there's an exemption here from the Mitzvah. That's where the Isser really comes from. The Isser comes from the fact that you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, except when there's a mitzvah. Well, since there's a p'tur here, therefore there's an Isser. But the real essential issue here is not Isser, but it's p'tur. And that's why it says potrot, and that way we are not confused at all. Good. Now, umayir yedatani mina chalitza v'nibum. The last question we have is the last part of that sentence, which is, chamesh yisrei nashim potrot, tzaroten v'tzarot tzaroten min ha-chalitza u-min ha-yibum. They exempt the tzarot and the tzarot from chalitza and yibum. So why do you say that? Litni min ha-yibum lichudei. Just say they're poter them from yibum, and that'll be the whole story. That's no good, because itana min ha-yibum avmen ha-michlat chalitza yivum ilo mi-abma. If we said that they're poter min ha-yibum, I would have come to the errant conclusion, and it's not an unreasonable one, that they're not exempt from chalitza, they're just exempt from yibum, and you have to do chalitza. Oh, good. So, Kamash Malan, that kol ha'ola liyibum ola lachalitza, v'chosheinu ola liyibum eno ola lachalitza. Only somebody who is in the parsha of Yibum has chalitza. If you're pata from Yibum, you're pata from chalitza, and you're free to go right away. Good. Now, so if that's the case, v'litni mina Yibum mina chalitza, so do it in the opposite order. After all, Yibum is, as we see in the text, the preferred course of action. Chalitza is if he doesn't want to, and he's sort of degraded for not wanting to. So why does the text say, v'pota mina chalitza mina Yibum? Read, v'pota mina Yibum mina chalitza, in that order. Or, ina mina chalitza l'chuda, or just say, v'pota mina chalitza. If they're potter b'chalitza, I certainly know that they're potter b'yibum, which means, by the way, as we just said, they're also osur b'yibum. The answer is Abba Shaul. This is the opinion of Abba Shaul, who we'll meet much later in the Masechet. The Amar Mitzvah Chalitza Kodemet Mitzvah Yibum. The Tanakama's position, or Abaran's position, is that Yibum is the preferred course of action. And the first thing we ask the guy is, are you willing to do Yibum? If not, we go through all the brothers, then we come back and say, are you willing to do Chalitza? You have to do the Chalitza. O Chalotza Yabem. But the Rabba Shaul reads the opposite. And he says that really the preferred course of action is Chalitza. That, of course, is what is generally practiced already for hundreds of years, certainly in Eidot Ashkenaz, that we only allow chalitza. But in the times of the Mishnah, there was a machloket, which is the preferred course of action. And Abba Shaul said it's chalitza. Therefore, Abba Shaul's influence on this Mishnah is felt when the order is mina chalitza mina yibum to make that point. Good. Now, minyana deresh l'mutaymai, minyana deseif l'mutaymai. This needs a little bit of an introduction, which is that there is an assumption in the Gemara about the rhetoric of the Mishnah, and that is that whenever we have an enumerated list, meaning a list that says there's three ways in which a man is mekadesh a woman, and here they are, there's four ways in which, three ways in which an etrog is like a vegetable, here they are. Of course, anybody can count. It comes up to 1, 2, 3. Why give the number first? The number is there to tell you this number and only this number. And it's there because there is a candidate for the list that the Tana is excluding by putting the number down. Really, there is only three ways of Kiddushin. There's a fourth way that's edging to get in. We're blocking it out by saying there's three and only three. And that's the sugya in the beginning of Kiddushin. Here we have 15. Anybody can count that there's 15 on the list. So why does it have to say 15? And it says it twice. So that means there's two exclusions. So let's see. Nim'ute derav ule deravasi. The answer is that Rav maintains that a sarat sota is asura. In other words, if a woman has been accused or is a sota, has had an affair with another man, and then her husband dies before any further action can be taken, then she and all the tsarot are pater mina yibum, according to Rav. And Ravasi says that a tsarat ilonit asura. All right? In other words, a woman is an ilonit, the other women are also patur, and we are exempting them by saying 15, these 15, and only these 15. Now, the Rav and Ravasi, the Mutemai. So what are Rav and Ravasi going to do with our miut? They're going to say, these 15 are listed because they're the ones that poter. Sarat Sota and Sarat Ailunit are not mentioned in the Mishnah, even it's, though it's true, because neither one of them could have a Sarat Sara, for reasons that are obvious. They could not remarry under those circumstances. But what is the number 15 coming to exclude? So Yisver Luhu Dehadadi. So if Rav and Ravasi accept each other's position, which means Rav has a total of 17 and so does Ravasi, then there's two more that would be candidates to get on the list. One of them is Machzir Grushato, when a man divorces his wife, she marries another man, and then he dies or she divorces her, and she remarries her first husband, which is a lav. There is reason to argue that she and all the tsarot would be potter min hayibum. However, we say that that's not true, and that the tsarot are still zukukot liyibum. And the other one is tsarat mima'enet. If a girl is mima'enet, then the question is the status of the tsarot. Then Rav and Ravasi would be excluding those two with the two minyanim. But if Rav and Ravasi do not accept these others' positions, so that each one of them has 16, Rav adds Sarat Sota only, and Ravasi adds Sarat Ailunit only to the list, then we would say Chad and the Muta de Chavre, one of them is to exclude the other fellows. In other words, Rav would be excluding Sarat Ailunit, Ravasi would be excluding Sarat Sota, but Chad and the Muta, Otsarat Manot, Otsarat Machzir Gushaton, the other one is to exclude one of the other two that we just dealt with. Good. Now, I already mentioned this. So according to Rav and Ravasi, why doesn't our Mishnah have either 16 or 17, which includes Sarat Sota and Sarat Ailunit? The answer is Lefisha Einav et Sarat Sara, because neither one of them would exist with a Sarat Sara. The reason being that all of the other ones in our Mishnah have a possibility of the girl marrying another one of the brothers, and then the tsarat sara coming in. If she's a tsarat, if she is a sota, with a sota, you can't have halchat saratav and iseit lachiv asheni, right? Because she is asur to all of the brothers equally, not uniquely to this brother. And the same thing with an ilanit. If it turns out she's an ilanit, then indeed she's not allowed to marry anybody. So you can't have tsarat tsara. So it doesn't mean that they're excluded. They just can't be mentioned in the Mishnah because they don't fit all of the circumstances of the Mishnah. Good. Now we get to the second half of this morning's shiur, which is the fundamental derivation, how we know that when Yibum collides with Erva, Erva trumps and Yibum takes a back seat. And that is as follows. Minhani Mili. How do we know this? The Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, we already saw this in the first podcast, in the Rambam's Perusha Mishnayot, already quoted this. Ishai lachota lo tikach litzvori legalot ervata aleha bechayeha. This is in the list of the Arayot. A man may not marry a wife and her sister. Litzror, that's going to be a key word, to tie them together. All right, aleha bechayeha. That's, by the way, how we know that it is only during the life of the wife that the sister is prohibited. But many cases in Jewish history were great people. Their wives died and then immediately or thereafter married their former sister-in-law, the wife's sister. We had a case in Moed Katan with Rav Yosef HaKohen, who at the funeral of his wife asked his former wife's, dead wife's sister, to come be his wife. So that's the Pasuk. Aleha matam alom. Why does it say Aleha in the Pasuk? Right, the Torah says that when a man dies without children, the avam should avo aleha. Shamani afilu b'chad mikol areyot amor patorah. I might think that Yavama should the Yavam should come, should have bia with whoever the sister is, even if she's an erva to him. Hakatuv daber nimarkan aleha nimar lahaman aleha. So that's why it says aleha in both places, in the mitzvah of Yibum and in the isra of achot isha. Malon makom mitzvah, afkan makom mitzvah, just like in Yibum, it's makom mitzvah. So here in achot isha, it's makom mitzvah. V'arachman alotikach, and the Torah says don't do it. So even makom mitzvah, the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a woman and her sister. In other words, your wife's sister falls to the Yibum, the Torah says not to do it. Now, v'ainli elahi, all I know is that you're not allowed to marry her. Saratami nine, how do I know that her co-wife who's not related to you is asur? Tamagomar litzror. That's why it says to bind them together, an allusion to tsara, meaning not only she, but anyone with whom she's bound. V'ainli ela tsarata, all I know is the one that she's directly bound to. Tsarat tsarata minayin, how do I know to expand it to tsarat tsarata, meaning her tsara then marries one of the other brothers, and her and that co-wife falls to you? Tamalomar litzror v'lo litzor. That's why it says litzror with two reishes instead of litzor, to extend it to tsarat tsarat. V'ainli ela achot isha. Now, so far, all we know is that in the case of achot isha, we don't know about bito, we don't know about achot imo, we don't know about any of the others. Right? So here we're going to employ a common hermeneutical vehicle known as binyan av. When we have one example of a case where the Torah presents us with a new wrinkle in the law, we find all circumstances or all cases that share significant circumstances, and we apply that wrinkle there too. Good. Achot isha, shar arayot minayin. How do I know to apply it to other arayot? Amart ma achot isha miyuchedet. What do we know about achot isha? She erva v'chavinaz dona karet. She's an erva. The consequence is karet. V'ashigata chatat, and if it's done b'shogeg, it's a chatat. V'asura layavam, and the conclusion is, she's asura le'avam, af kol she'erva, v'chevin ala'al zonah karet, v'gata chatar, asura le'avam. So therefore, anyone who is an erva, for whom the consequences karet, is asura le'avam. Vein le'alahein, all I know now is of the other arayot, tsarotein minai, and how do I know that all of the other arayot carry the p'tur to their tsarot? Amart ma achot isha miyuchedet shehi erva v'chevin ala'al zonah karet, v'gata chatar, asura le'avam. I repeat the earlier sentence, and I add two words, v'tsarata asura. What do I know about achot isha? She has karet. She's an erva, she has karet and chatat, and she's asura le'avam, and the tsara also. Of course, she erva v'chevin ala'al zonah karet, v'gata chatar, asura le'avam, tsarata asura. Oh, same thing. Mikan amru chachamim chamisu nashim pefotur tzaroten tzaroten min hachalitza min eibon tzov kolam. That's where the topic sentence of our Mishnah came from. Mikan amru, based on this limud, all of these 15 arayot, and notice that our Mishnah does not list some, we'll get to that in a minute, all of these 15 arayot are poter them their tzarot, and tzarot tzarot, ad sof olam, ad sof olam meaning even tzarot tzarot tzarot, etc. The next mission that we're going to see next week is the six more severe arayot, for instance, your own mother. After all, let's say that you had a paternal brother, and your paternal brother married somebody who was your mother, and then the paternal brother died and your mother fell to you. All right? So that would be a shesh arayot chamurot. However, in that case, she is asur not just to you, she's asur to all of the brothers. Notice that in all these 15 arayot that we had, the isur is local. It's to that one brother because of how he's related to her, not because of how the family's related. Now, I might think that the tsarot of the six more severe arayot are also asur. Amart, here's the answer. Ma achot ishto miyuchadet she'arva v'chevet dona kredet she'gat achatat. What do we know about achot isha? She is an erva, and it's karet and chatat, and she could marry one of the other brothers. It's just you she can't marry. So now we put a new component to the characteristic of achot isha, character of achot isha, which is she is somebody who could marry one of the other brothers, she just couldn't marry you. The Shesh Arayot Chamurot is somebody who cannot marry any of the brothers. It's kind of awkward. But the result of them being more severe because they could not marry any of the brothers is that we can no longer infer anything from Achot Isha, and therefore the tzarot are still zakuk. There's still a zikah to the tzarot, and one of them can indeed be the object of Yibum. All right? Good. She'ein tzara elamiach. Right? The tzara, the notion of a tzara is, and take a look at Rashi, ho'el uptara katuv mizikato, hare alav b'isur eshet ach. Once the Torah said, you're not chayav, now there's an isur eshet ach, like an eshet ach she'ish labanim, she'bekaret. Right? So, alma lora min an isur eshet ach alav eshar yalei. Good. So she has the isur of eshet ach, because once the Torah said there is no mitzvah of yibum here, therefore she is just like an eshet ach, as if the brother had children, and that's an isur of arayot. Good. And last piece that we have here is azharat shamanu. So far, all we know is the isha echot isha lo tikach litzura. That's a prohibition, which is the warning. Remember, every law in the Torah has a warning and a consequence, and both are needed in order to carry out the consequence. And therefore, all we found in our essential pasuk, which is the source of all of this, is that achot isha is not only not subject to yibum because of aleha, but also the tzarot as a result of litzror are also exempt. But I don't know that there is a consequence for it. Therefore, therefore, we have the general pasuk at the end of Parshat Kedoshim and Parshat Achrimot. It says anyone who does any of these violations gets karet. And that's where we get to today. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up and go further into the issue of Achot Isha or Yavam versus Erva, and with the essential problem of why the mitzvah of Yibum does not trump the Yisur of Erva. And we will start dealing with the very complex and interesting, wide-ranging sugya of Aseh Doche Lo Taseh.